Now let's enter into prayer. I mean, if you hear those words at all, you've got to be sitting there wondering, is that us? Is that who we are? Are we the church today that Paul hoped would exist when he wrote that letter to the little church in Colossae? You know he was counting on us. You know he was counting on them and their descendants from generation to generation to be here today. To be sitting together as a congregation of faith, reading the same words, the very same words that Paul wrote to that first church. The very same words. Stay true to your faith. Be firm and strong. Don't get distracted by the things of the world and the business of the church. Do God's business. You're about the work of Jesus Christ. And when we look around here today, especially after a meeting like we had this morning at 9 o'clock to get our vision update, what are we thinking? Are we that church? Are we living into the Spirit of God? Do we have something to be joyful about? As Paul said, don't be glorious as a burden. Be glorious as a blessing. Because what you are doing is all for God, not for you. What you are doing today, Vine Street, is what Colossae did in the first century. They kept the movement strong and true and healthy so that in generations to come, those churches could be sitting around reading about this church and what they did and what they've done and how they loved and how kind they were and how they stayed true. Look around our church today. See who's here today. You know the hearts of these people. These are the hearts of the stalwarts for Jesus Christ. Let us support each other. Let us love each other. And let us be sure that in all we do together, all we do, it's all for the glory of God. Thank you, Paul. We needed that reminder and that vote of confidence. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your messenger, the church planter, Paul. We thank you for his words of the first century landing on our hearts in the 21st century. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be able to understand exactly what he's saying. There's no fudging. There's no weaseling out of this. There's no easy escape. We are called to lives of faith in the face of the world. We are called to be that small and mighty 21st century church. Vine Street Christian Church. Amen. That may be the best I've ever heard that story read. But you all know that story, right? It's the story of the good. Oh, the Samaritan. The ones that are most hated by the Jews. The ones that are despised. The ones that are shunned and put aside. It's a story of the good. Samaritan. Why do you think Jesus told him that story? Why do you think Jesus told that man that story? Because he knew that man was filled with hate. And he knew that man was using God's law to confirm his hate. Because he knew that man didn't consider the Samaritan his neighbor. Perfect with the children's moment today. Who's your neighbor that you're supposed to love like yourself? Everybody. What was it? 7 billion? It just went up. And it's going up more, isn't it? And it's not just your brand new great-grandbaby, right? It's the great-grandbabies that were born all over the world today to all different people. That's who you're called to love. Do you know how we use the Bible like that religious scholar did to define a line between who we love and who we hate? If they're one of us, we love them. And if they're not one of us, we can hate them. We can love all the Jews and we can hate all the Gentiles. That was basically Jewish law. That's what he was an expert at. That man was an expert at knowing who to hate. And unfortunately, in a lot of Christianity, we've learned the same thing. We've gotten that same perverted, distorted message. We all love ourselves and we do a great job at it. But you get somebody who doesn't believe the way we do, who doesn't act like we do, who says things against us, we know how to hate. We know how to hate in the name of the Lord. You ever realize that? Jesus wants us to give up the hate. He's telling the story to us so that there's no more room for hate in our hearts. No more room for hate in our hearts. Can I tell you a story about last Sunday night at the county fair? Last Sunday night at the county fair, there was a so-so sermon preached. I'm not running away. I'm getting my tea. There was a so-so sermon preached. Yeah. And after that sermon, some neighbors started to come up to the pastor who preached that sermon and wanted to talk to him more. And it was all good. It was all positive. And there was a special man from a neighboring town who was especially fired up by the words he heard. You know, he bought into that whole love thing. He was all about it. He thought that was the failure of the world, not to learn to love like Jesus. And he started saying, even Jesus loved Judas. You know, Judas came to the Last Supper and he was fed. Jesus hugged him and kissed him. It didn't even matter that he was Judas. Jesus still loved him. That's how he wants us to love. And I'm saying, yeah. I know a little haiku poem that a monk I know sent to me. It says this: love crazy Jesus. Look who he chose for his friends. You, me, and Judas. Jesus doesn't leave anybody out. There's nobody Jesus hates. He loves everybody. That's what this story's about. So within a minute, less than a minute, this man goes from talking about the love of Jesus and how he loves Judas even, to why in the world would somebody let the state legislature fly the gay flag on the state capitol without missing a beat. Now, we don't talk politics in here. Gay people are human beings. Last time I checked, we love them. We don't even have to debate whether that should be or not. Not in the Church of Jesus Christ. We love them, just like we love everybody else. We're not here to judge anybody. That's God's job. We're here to love people. We're here to love them even if they're Judas. But apparently these people are worse than Judas. I hadn't heard. I didn't know. It wasn't in my Bible. I couldn't find it in the law and the commandments. That somehow that love of Jesus is supposed to represent whatever flies on a state capitol building. Just think of the thought of that. Just think how easy what we've done in our society. We have taken politics, by the way, politics, plenty of room for hate. Plenty of room for hate. Teaching us to hate. And he's put it right in his religious bag, his Jesus bag. He's contaminated his Jesus bag with politics. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to tread into politics, be careful. Keep the love, because that's not about how to love your neighbor. It's about how to hate your neighbor. Just ask Colin Kaepernick, right? And by the way, last time I checked, Jesus prefers kneeling to standing. But oh boy, there's someone we can hate. You see, it's all around us. And even when I say those names, you think, oh, okay, we're okay to hate him. Do you know him? Do you know Colin Kaepernick? Do you know a gay person? Do you know an illegal immigrant? Do you know them personally? Do you know a man on death row? Have you met him and talked to him and spent time with him? I can say yes to all those. Do you know a Muslim? Do you? I do. Love every one of them. That's taught by Jesus Christ. You start hating anybody, You start hating yourself. There's no room for hate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this man right in front of me at the county fair couldn't even understand the hypocrisy of what he was saying, and he was preaching it like a TV evangelist. That's what it reminded me of. Oh my God, this is what Christianity has become. Oh my God, are we in trouble? Oh my God, do we need more love? Lord, we need to learn how to love. We need to hear that story of the Good Samaritan over and over and over and understand what it means. Do you realize who walked by the hurt man? Did you hear that when Cohen read the story? Who walks by the man? The Levites, who's the priest, by the way. Levites are the priestly class. And the rabbi. Do you want to take your cues from them? Or do you want to take your cue from the Good Samaritan, who Jesus holds up to us as a model on how to love other people? Man, 8 billion people, Ed? I think my heart's big enough for that with Jesus Christ in it. Otherwise, there's no way that's going to happen. Friends, what this story is about, it's not a nice, cozy, friendly bedtime story. It's about the failure of the Jesus movement in the 21st century. The failure of us to understand the meaning of the love of Christ. And when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, he means anybody that enters your life in any way, shape, or form, even your thoughts, anybody you hear of, anybody you know about, anybody you walk by, anybody you go visit, anybody. Oh, not just anybody. Everybody. Everybody. Amen. Now, I think we come to the table.
We do.
It's a good place to go right now.
Priest at the Shrine of Bethel sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is plotting to get rid of you, and he's doing it as an insider, working from within Israel. His talk will destroy the country. He's got to be silenced. Do you know what Amos is saying?
Jeroboam will be killed. Israel is headed for exile. Then Amaziah confronted Amos. Seer, be on your way. Get out of here and go back to Judah where you came from. Hang out there. Do your preaching there, but no more preaching at Bethel. Don't show your face here again. This is the king's chapel. This is a royal shrine.
So let's get caught up a little bit. The powers that be, the king and the rabbi's response to Amos bringing the truth was, it's a conspiracy against us. He wants to do away with us. Forget whether he's speaking God's truth or not. That's not important. He's threatening our power, our control, and what we believe in. After all, that's how we build our empire, by our beliefs, not God's. He is creating a conspiracy from within. He's going to bring us down from within. So let's send him away. Let's send him to some other part of the Holy Land. We don't want his voice to be heard anymore around here, for he threatens all of us. Remember, it's God's voice they're talking about. Okay.
But Amos stood up to Amaziah. I never set to be a prophet, never had plans to be a preacher. I raised cattle and I pruned trees. Then God took me off the farm and said, go preach to my people Israel. So listen to God's word, you tell me. Don't preach to Israel. Don't say anything against the family of Isaac. But here's what God is telling you.
Your wife will become an evil woman in town. Your children will get killed. Your land will be auctioned off. You will die homeless and friendless. And Israel will be hauled off to exile, far from home.
Yeah, it's not always an uplifting closing when the prophets speak, is it? You see what Amos is telling them? Look, you can listen to me. I bring the truth of God. Or you can kill me or send me away and keep on living as you do. But if you keep on living this way, make no mistake about it, you will face the consequences of your lifestyle. Not punishment from God, punishment from yourself for the way you are living. Now, friends, when we look around our beloved country, the country we love so much, so many have given for this country and fought for our country, we share these same values and ideals. And when we look around our country and we see it falling down, and we see the cornerstones being shaken of our country, when we look around and can't find any hint of love or democracy in our politics, when we listen to the civil conversation that's happening in our country, in social media, in the news, on Capitol Hill, in Springfield, what do we think? Other than we are facing the consequences of our unwillingness to speak for God in this world. God doesn't play politics. God plays love. And when we take God into our politics, we have lost God's message. But when we speak God's love to politics, as Amos did, then we carry the force to change the way this world is. If you want to change this country, if you want to change the way our politics looks right now, if you want to change the way our inner cities act right now, our schools, if you want to change this community to look more like a Jesus community, then you start right here, my friend. And you exterminate all the hate you have built up. Oh, we all have it. You ask God to take that away from you, and you ask God to fill you with the love of Christ, and then you share that love. Don't share condemnation. Don't share criticism. Don't speak hate. You share that love with each and every person you meet. And then, when you look around, you'll see the country that you love so much. And it's the one that God has blessed to show His truth to the world. Amos didn't want to be a prophet. He wanted to be a farmer and a tree pruner. I've told you, I never felt called to be a preacher. I don't know what I'm called to, but I can't stand up here and not share the truth of Jesus Christ with the people who keep coming back week after week. By the way, if you stop coming back, I totally get it. Totally get it. Most people don't want to hear this message. But if you keep coming back, if you keep coming back, lives are going to be changed here. Not because of anything I do, but because of everything God does. Amen.